where did Paul go to all the mission trips, okay? So yeah, you can see the arrows where all he went. But yeah, so today we will be doing Acts 15. Yeah, just before we start, let's just pray and ask God to help us understand this scripture. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, and we want to give it all to you, O Lord God. Lord, may your anointing rest upon us, Lord, and may you speak into our hearts and lives, O Lord God, so that we will be transformed through your word. For faith comes through hearing the word of God, and that is what we want to know. May you increase our faith. May you increase yourself in us. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So, yeah. So, we are going to do Acts 15 today. And it's a very interesting chapter. It is kind of, you know, in those movies you have this twist or sudden suspense which happens. So, it is that chapter, okay, where everything is going smoothly and everyone is very happy. Now, Paul is converted. And he is doing very well. Barnabas is with him. They are all together. But in this chapter, we will see there is some friction. There is some conflicts that happen. And through this also, we can learn a lot of things. Lot of things. Okay. So, yes. So, it is called Acts 15, the Jerusalem Council. Alright. So, now... I'll just give you the, okay, before we actually begin, I need 5 volunteers to read this, okay, so the first person to volunteer to read this, it's Acts 15.
This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem and to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way. And as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the believers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them.
Right. So in this first 4 verses, what do we see? There is some discussion happening. Okay. So some people from Judea. Now where is Judea? Judea is in Jerusalem. And so those people who were living in Jerusalem were of course the Jews. Okay, and they were following certain customs or certain things. According to the law of Moses, okay, according to what was taught to them. Now, when these people heard about, oh wow, so many Gentiles are being, you know, born again, and they're coming to know Jesus, they suddenly thought, oh, let's make them a part of us, so that they do not. Okay, so the thought is good, but what they did not realize was that what they were trying to put was the old covenant on them. Okay. So what they did not realize was that was their custom. Okay. And they were Gentiles or people from all over the world. How can you place one custom on the other? And what they did not realize was also that it is the new covenant that they need to follow. So we will come to that very soon. Next, anybody wants to read this part?
Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them, "Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are.
So now we got the gist of it. So they were trying to also circumcise the Gentiles. We will come to this whole circumcision, the law of Moses. Why were they supposed to be circumcised? Why were they? So Peter put it very plainly. Okay, he put it very plainly that, you know, we were also not able to bear that. Okay. Imagine you, these are new Christians, and you are trying to tell them, you have got to do this law you have to follow. How are they supposed to do all this? Okay, they are new, they are just getting to know the Lord. And if God has not told them, like if God and himself has not judged them on the basis of circumcision, because he already gave them the Holy Spirit, who are we to do that? Okay, so that is what Peter was trying to defend. Now we'll move on.
The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up. "Brothers," he said, "listen to me. Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, 'After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord who does these things, things known from long ago. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For the law of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath."
So then now what they have done is, what? So they said, okay, we will not do this, but at least we can tell them what the law of Moses, don't eat this, don't do that. Again, they were putting a certain law, a certain criteria for them. But whereas, if you actually see, when Jesus proclaims the good news, or when his disciples proclaim the good news, there is no such, you know, the such things that Jesus say. Only if you do this, then only you will enter my kingdom. He just says, believe. Have faith that Jesus is the Son of God. But these people were, like, you know, very adamant on saying that, okay, fine, we agree that this. So he said, listen to me. So Simon, James says that, you know, that what the prophets, what Peter is telling is in agreement with the prophets, what the prophets have said. And so we have to do is, okay, we will not tell them to be circumcised, but at least follow some rules and regulations, okay, what we follow. So he comes to that consensus, okay, and he's trying to put this forth before the people, the Jews over there, the elders. Okay, now, so finally, what do they do?
Then the apostles and elders and the whole church decided to choose some of the women and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They chose Judas, called Barsabas, and Silas, men who were leaders among the believers. With them they sent the following letter: "The apostles and elders, your brothers to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. We have heard that some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you and troubled your minds by what they said. So we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends, Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things forever."
Okay, so this is the apologetic letter that the Jews write to the people who are in Antioch and say that we are very sorry that there were some people without our knowledge, without our authorization, that is what they say, no? Without our authorization, they tried to come and confuse you and put a lot of rules and regulations, but you should not be doing that. And actually, if you see, no, when they are saying that beyond the following requirements in verse 29, it says you are to abstain from certain things. That is for also for a reason, because they were living in that culture, okay, where there was a lot of idolatry, where there is a lot of other things that were carried out. So that is why they said that, okay, at least follow these things, but you don't have to do circumcision and stuff like that. You are under the new covenant. So we will learn about the new covenant today. Now, before we get into this whole thing, so when the Jews came to these people, they spoke about Moses' law and circumcision. Any idea about what is this whole law and circumcision about? Anyone? Any idea? Don't worry. If you don't know, I will tell you. Okay. So, what happened was when... Okay, so this goes long back in history. When Abraham was chosen, okay, when Abraham was chosen, he was 99 years old. And that is the time when God told him that you are going to have a son. Now, so many years, his wife Sarah and Abraham were barren. They did not have a child. Whereas God told him that you are going to have a son. Now, how do I, you know for sure that a son is going to be born to me? So that is how God gives him a covenant, and he says that this son of yours, he will bring in, like, you know, he will be the descendant, and many children, many nations will be your children, and it will be your offspring who will be you will be the father of nation, you will be the father of earth, and you will produce many children. So just to, you know, seal that promise, that covenant, God said, now henceforth, just as a reminder that you are going to be my people, your people are going to be my people, what you're going to do is you are going to circumcise every male person in your, community. So that is how this whole circumcision was brought about. Okay, so the covenant, just to keep that seal, that covenant from God saying that this promise, like, you know, you will have descendants as many as the stars, you will have descendants as many as the sand. So he says, how will I have? I don't even have a child. So God says that just so that you believe in me, just so that you know that this is going to happen, I am placing this covenant to you. Okay, so so we see this in Genesis 17. Okay, can someone read this so we are more clear about what were the Jews talking about, the circumcision?
Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you. And I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring, whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant.
Okay, so this is what the Jews were talking about. the Jews, when they went to the Antioch, they said, okay, Paul, you are telling them about Jesus and all that, but what they have to do is this, because this is the covenant that God had made with Abraham. And according to the Abrahamic covenant, we fall under his, like we are his children. Because now, since we know, like you know, this God, we are his children. So we need to be circumcised. But then Peter defends and he says that why Gentiles should not be circumcised, because God kept the covenant of baptism. Okay, that is when God said that, you know, Jesus said, I will go and I will send you my helper or the counselor, that is the Holy Spirit. So he did not see, oh, this person is circumcised, so the Holy Spirit will come on him. This person is not circumcised, the Holy Spirit will not come on him. He kept the covenant that he promised to all people, whether you did this or you did not do this. Okay, so that this was the old covenant, and that is what Peter was trying to explain to the people, and that is what Paul and Barnabas were also trying to argue when they told about, you know, when we went, the Gentiles were healed when we went. So this is not required for them to be healed. This is not required for them to be, this is not required. So do not put a burden on them. So that is what Paul and Barnabas were trying to tell. Now, what do we mean by covenant? Okay, so how many of us live in rented homes? Some of us live in rented homes, right? So you have an agreement between the owner and the tenant, correct? So what does the owner say? This is the requirement. This is how you have to pay your rent. This is how the deposit is going to be, correct? Yes? Okay. And what do? You sign the agreement and the other person also signs the agreement. That is how the covenant has been made throughout the generation. Can anybody remember, okay, in the beginning, God made a covenant with Adam and Eve. What was the covenant that? Did he make a covenant with Adam and Eve? So he said that this animal is being killed, but you will not be living in this garden. Okay, and then he made a covenant with Noah. That we all know. What is the covenant? The rainbow. Okay, so every time God makes a contract with mankind, saying that I will do this and you have to do this in response. Okay, so he makes a covenant, that rainbow. Okay, then with Abraham, he makes a covenant. Now, what is this new covenant that Jesus is what we are talking about? The new covenant is nothing but it is the circumcision of the heart. So he says that you don't need to be physically circumcised. But Paul says in Romans 2:28-29, no, a person is a Jew who is inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. Okay. And in Philippians 3:3-9, it says that for it is who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law of Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Okay, so basically what here he's talking about is that we are circumcised in the heart. We don't have to truth. So that is what Paul, Barnabas, Peter, Simon were all trying to explain to this Jewish people. Then eventually what happens, they realize this and they say, oh yes, it is our mistake. And so they go back to the people. So Paul and Barnabas were sent back to the people, and they ask, like, with a letter, and just so that there will be witnesses for these people, Judas and Silas were also sent with them. And they say that we confirm, we heard that there were some Jews who were unauthorized and came and they did all this. Okay. So what we are trying to see here is that now we believe in the new covenant. And now what is the new covenant? The new covenant was a relationship with God and not of circumcision. This covenant was introduced way before even Jesus was, born. And then he said that there will be a new covenant. You don't have to do all this, but you just have to believe. Okay, so it says in Jeremiah, behold, so this is the new covenant that Peter and Paul were talking about. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their father. Who was the father? Abraham. Okay, so this is very specifically says that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke. So because everybody was burdened with all these things that, you know, were impelled, you know, on them and said that, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that. Just like the Jews were trying to tell the Gentiles. Now, since you know the Lord, you have to do this, this, this. So it was all, you know, pushed upon them. So you don't have to do that. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So this is what Peter was trying to explain to them, and said that I am going to make a new covenant. That is what Jesus has said, and there is no need for the old covenant. Now, this is the new covenant, because it says here, when I will make. So it is a future tense. So technically, if Jesus has come, so Jesus will say, I make the new covenant, right? So is there anywhere given where Jesus says, I will make the new covenant? Yes, no? Okay, let's see. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Okay. So basically, the crucifixion of Jesus and the redemption that we believe, that we have, because Jesus died on the cross, that is the new covenant Jesus has come to fulfill. Okay, so many times we may feel that, oh, okay, so now because I am a Christian, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do this. The only thing that Jesus requires is that we ask for the forgiveness of our sins. We, through faith, okay, believe that Jesus has come to die for our sins and redeem us. And we don't live in that sinful life anymore. Okay, so because it says in Jeremiah that I will put my law within them, on their heart, I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So there is nothing like where I will be like, okay, I need to do circumcision, or I need to do this. But I need to know that now, because I am saved, I need to abide by what God is telling me to do. I need to have that covenant within me, because he died for me. Okay. So as a new believer, Peter and Paul went and proclaimed to the Gentiles, what was their role? How do they fulfill all this covenant? They should focus, or we should focus, in our newfound faith. We should be discipled and we should be able to be guided to overcome all the sin. And we need to grow in knowing Jesus. We need to persevere in our faith. And we need to learn more about how we can carry out Jesus' way of living. Okay, so as a new believer, the Gentiles were asked, or the Gentiles were now, you know, expected to learn more of this new covenant and not the Mosaic or the Davidic covenant. Now, as a new old believer, or as a person who knows the Lord very well, okay, according to us, we know God very well. So, what should we do that we do not fall into what the Jews were doing? Okay, they said that you need to do this, you need to do that. But instead, I need to question myself or introspect in my heart. Why am I doing this? Am I still in that old covenant which was given to me? Or do I understand what God has done for me, what Jesus has done for me? What is this new covenant all about? When Jesus says that I broke my body for you, what does that mean? Why do I have to understand this aspect where Jesus says that, you know, behold, like he says that this cup is a new covenant in my blood which is poured out for you. What does this mean? What is this new covenant about? He says that, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. Whereas in the Old Testament, there were laws and, you know, they were saying that, you know, but Jesus says, I have not come to abolish the law, but I have come to fulfill them. So it is not like, oh, I don't have to follow certain things, but I do have to follow so that, you know, I am living in the new covenant and not in the old covenant. I need to also introspect, okay, am I still stagnant in my belief system? Like, or am I growing in knowing the Lord more? I need to introspect. Are we growing to become more like Jesus, or are very busy judging people and how they are not following the old covenant? So we as believers, or we as Christians, we need to do that. Because it says that being there for ages is very dangerous. Okay, we generally tend to say, oh, okay, so this is the person, now he has to follow this. But what about me? Am I also abiding by the new covenant? Am I also, like Peter says, that, you know, this is what we have to do. We also have been burdened with all these things. Why are you trying to put all this burden on the other? So am I considerate, or am I sensitive enough to carry out the brotherly or the sisterly love to each other? Okay, so this chapter is very specific to all of us, where we might be in the place of the Jews, where we are saying, you do this, you do that. Whereas, we could be also like the Gentiles, very naive. Okay, and we don't know what to do. And whereas when people like the Jews came and tried to create conflict and said, you got to do this, I'm sure they would have been very fearful of it. They would have said, oh no, abhi, no, I have to go through that Moses ka law, I have to do what Abraham did, I have to do what this person did. There might have been so much of fear suddenly. But how am I trying to make them comfortable and say that, no, you don't have to do that. There is this new covenant which Jesus talks about. He has already done that on the cross for you. You just have to refrain from this thing. And that also not for anybody, but for your good, so that we do not get mingled with others. So that was the teaching of these apostles when they were trying to tell the Jewish council, the Jerusalem council, that, you know what, we cannot burden them with the old covenant. We cannot burden them with whatever happened. That was for a reason. In Hebrews it says that whatever is given in the Old Testament is a foreshadow of what is going to happen. Like Jesus is going to come, and there is a Messiah who is going to come, and there is going to be a Redeemer for them. That was a foreshadow of that which is going to happen. Whereas when we look at the New Testament, it is already, you know, accomplished. The New Covenant, it says, it is already been established. So that means whatever has been, or whatever was going to happen, has been established. So we need to focus more on, you know, being discipled. We need to focus more on overcoming our sinful nature. We need to focus more on knowing Jesus more, in persevering through our faith. And this is the new covenant. The new covenant says that we need to learn more to enjoy Jesus, to enjoy his promises, to enjoy that we have been redeemed. We no longer are slaves to the old self, but we have to renew ourselves and renew our commitment to Jesus. So there is a danger of being, you know, that, okay, I am a very, you know, 20 years, I am a Christian or something, but we need to keep on building ourselves and saying, I am going to follow this new covenant. So the Bible is very clear. It says in Matthew 9:17, new wine cannot be put in old wineskin or it will burst. We need to renew our mindset. So it says, neither do people pour new wine into old wine. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. So we need to break the cycle of doing the routine and also doing the routine without making sense. Because many times we may say that, oh, okay, I'm praying. Why am I praying? What is the reason? Do I have sufficient faith to pray? Or am I just because, oh, 1, 2, 3 people are praying, so I'm praying. Fasting. Everybody's fasting, so I'm fasting. But do I really understand the essence of it? Do I understand the essence of why am I reading the Bible? Why am I praying? Why the cross is so important? Every time we look at the cross, we may sometimes get so used to that scene that the cross will not stir us up anymore. That new covenant will not. So every time I look at the cross, I need to remember that this is the new covenant that Jesus is making with me. Just like I saw the rainbow and I remember God said he will never destroy the world anymore with flood. That's how the new covenant, the cross, should remind me that my sins are forgiven on that cross. He died every bit of it for me. And that's what we sang today, right? That Jesus paid it all. And that's what the new covenant is all about. And that's what Peter and Paul and Barnabas were trying to tell them. Don't get into this old wineskin. Don't get into this old covenant, because it was for that time. Now it is all new. We need to welcome the Gentiles. We need to welcome them and teach them, because they do not know. So we may be like, okay, I know this. But how much am I teaching? How much knowledge am I transferring to those people who do not know the covenant of the new covenant? Alright? So it says, Jesus came to give us a new covenant. He came to give us a covenant of eternal life through him. He came to forgive sin and undo all that the devil intends to happen to me. Through faith, we can grasp this covenant. So that is what the introspection is. So am I living in my old wineskin or am I living in the new wineskin? Can we ask our neighbor, are you an old wineskin or are you a new wineskin? Okay, because if anything new has to come in, we have to have a transformation of our mindsets, our inner self. We cannot say that, okay, I live in the Davidic covenant. I live in the, you know, that covenant which God made. But no, there's a new covenant that God, Jesus is trying to tell us and Jesus is making for us. Okay, so this was what Peter, Peter told the council. Now they were very apologetic. They went and told, okay, we are very sorry, but you know, this is what we have to follow. And that also for their good. So that is sorted, okay. Now there is a little bit more portion about So then this is what happened from Judas and Silas, and they went and they said, okay, in 35, but Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, so that letter thing is over. They gave a letter, and then now Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch. And then were they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. So this much is clear, right, everybody? So now what is the old covenant, new covenant? Why circumcision is not important for the Gentile? That much is clear. Because we live in the era of the new covenant. Now what happens is, so now Paul and Barnabas decide to go back to visit the believers. Okay, now there is a small glimpse of how the history changed, or how the whole thing, the epistles came about. Epistles is what? Your 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, you know, how only Paul is writing those letters. So what happens is, this happens. So can somebody read this? Your name will also be written in the history.
Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preached the word of God, word of the Lord, and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the world. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria, Cilicia, strengthening the church.
Right. So what happened? Dosti toot gayi. Okay. So Barnabas and Paul had a chip, okay, disagreement. And that also because of this one person, okay, John Mark. I'll tell you who John Mark is. Now, according to some researchers, okay, some work that we came to know, some researchers, his full name was John Mark. Okay? Mark's name, full name is John Mark. Now, John Mark, so if you see in Acts 12:12, there is a, there is some gathering or praying happening. Okay, now John Mark is the person in whose house all this is happening. Suppose if there is a cell meeting or prayer meeting conducted in your house, what does that mean? You are the host, you are a good Christian, right? And you know so much about the word of means, you are so inclined, your family is so inclined that the church is deciding to have prayer in your house or something like that, correct? So means they are so known, well known. So John Mark was one of them. So John Mark's mother's name was Mary. Okay, so this is not other. There were, like, it was a common name during those times. Like you have nowadays very common name. So like that, John Mark's mother's name was Mary, and that is how. And also one more interesting fact is Barnabas is none other than a relative of John Mark. Okay, so he is a cousin of John Mark. So it could be thought that probably that is why Barnabas didn't want to leave John or Mark just like that, okay? Because Paul said that, nahin, tera bhai hoga, but I don't want to take him, okay? But what did Barnabas say? No, no, I want to take him. So that is why there was a disagreement between them. But what Paul was trying to do was, see, probably Barnabas was trying to be a little more gracious to Mark, saying that don't do this. Let him also come. Whereas Paul was trying to teach him discipleship, saying that you cannot afford to leave people like that in between a missionary group. That is what Paul was trying to teach. Whereas Barnabas was also trying to be gracious. Now, so we will go to Paul, Barnabas and Mark. So this is what happened. So it says in Acts 13:13, John Mark do? What did Mark do? Now Paul and those with him left Paphos by ship for Turkey, landing at the port town of Perga. There John Mark deserted them. It's not even saying, okay, oh, I'm going. He deserted them. Means he said, I'm coming, and then left. Okay, so this is written in Living Bible. So if you see in NIV, it just says left them. So if you see different translation, it gives you the intensity of that leaving of Mark. Now, why is all this information so important to us? Why is this so much important for us, this information? Paul's intention was only to disciple him and channelize the fact that you cannot go on with this kind of behavior. Okay, Paul's intention was that. Because, eventually we see that Paul did, have a good relationship with John, Mark, because eventually he writes a letter. He says, Aristarchus, who is with me here as a prisoner, sends you his love. So does Mark, a relative of Barnabas. And as I said before, give Mark a hearty welcome. This is what Paul says. So it's not like he hated him. It's not like he, he said, no, he's not going to be part of my team. No, he didn't say that. He was just trying to teach him that you cannot desert your people like that. You cannot leave them halfway through like that. You are on a mission. Mission for God, and we are in that new covenant where we have to proclaim the good news to the Gentiles. If you show this kind of behavior, then what kind of an example are we going to be? That is what he was trying to say. Whereas Barnabas was trying to say, "Theek hai yaar, it happened. Now you just, show him some grace and let him come with us." He says, "No, let him be here." So if you see Paul's pattern, he will do this, but eventually he will take them in the team. Like if you see his pattern, he will say, no, what you've done is wrong. He's very abrupt with his decisions. But at the same time, he loves them very so much. It says that Paul was very clear. He was a no-fool-around person. You can't fool around with Paul. He had a very high standard. And he was very intensely at the work of the gospel. The new covenant had changed him. Many times, we may meet a Paul as a leader in our church, in a congregation, or maybe anywhere else. We may meet a Paul as a leader. Or we may have a Barnabas as a leader. Both are equally important to us. Both a Paul as a leader or a Barnabas as a leader is important to us. My spiritual growth will spurt up if I stay with leaders like Paul, but I also would need leaders like Barnabas who can trust me again. Who can show that, okay, yeah, I trust you again. However, it's my personal belief that, because Paul did this to Mark, he did not leave Barnabas in the next missionary journey. Otherwise, it would have been said, Mark left Barnabas again. But he did not, because probably Paul had done this to him, said that, abhi se you will not come. So that thing, that responsibility came on John Mark. And he said, no, I'm not going to do this ever again. And I'm going to hold on to Barnabas because he chose me. So I think it is kind of, that discipleship that we require. People like Paul in our lives who will tell us directly that, this is not that. This is a no fool around thing. So Paul refused to take Mark for the mission trip. John Mark became more serious about this mission trip with Barnabas because of what happened. So, what do we learn from all this? The Jewish council and the Barnabas and Paul and Mark incident. After all said and done, we are all here because of the new covenant that Jesus made with us. We are all included in this new covenant. We have the privilege and the access to God, to reconciliation and atonement through Jesus Christ. The good news is good, and the covenant is for us. Jesus makes a new contract with all of us. Our covenant with God. Okay. The more we read the Bible, the clearer the contract will be for us. We will come to know why this new covenant is so important. What is it that tells us more about this new covenant? Why did Jesus die for me? I am such a wretched person. What is it in me that he had done? God's love for us, irrespective of who we are, what we are doing, from where we come, how we behave with God, or how we have behaved with him, doesn't matter, because Jesus has done it all, and he gives us a new relationship with God. The more we read the Bible, it will be more clearer to us. The Holy Spirit will this Holy Spirit is with us for all those who believe in Jesus. That's the promise of God, and that's the new covenant. He sends us the Counselor. He will reveal more of Jesus to us, and His new covenant will become real for us every day of our lives. So let's live this new covenant, and let's not think about, oh, I have to do this old covenant stuff. No, it is new. We are wineskin, and God is pouring in new things for us. So let's renew our minds. Let's think about how we need to change our lifestyle, how we need to get away from that sinful nature of ours, and say, Lord, I want to become more like you. That should be our response. Because if we continue to live in that old mindset, we will become like those Jews who are trying to put shackles in our feet and saying that, oh, do this, do this, do this. But whereas if I love Jesus so much more that I will invariably follow, because the law will be written in my heart, I will invariably do it to please God. And that is what the new covenant is all about. So let's just ask God and pray and reflect on how am I living in this new covenant or in this new belief system that Jesus has given to me. Yes, so we'll just pray over to